A little bit ago, before we begin our class period, Mike led us in the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Just a moment ago, before we gave, Ken thanked God for the blessings that we have. And certainly we are a blessed people, aren't we? Blessed beyond really even our comprehension. We want to look this morning at our text to be Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, looking at all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1, 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We want to answer three questions this morning. First of all, what is the difference between physical and spiritual blessings? Secondly, what or where are all spiritual blessings to be found? And thirdly, what are the spiritual blessings that Paul discusses here in Ephesians? And we'll spend the majority of the time on that third question. We look at the first two from time to time, but oftentimes we kind of leave what the spiritual blessings are out there to our own interpretation, and certainly there are more than just what Paul gives us here in Ephesians, but he does go on and list several of these particular blessings. But first of all, what is the difference between physical blessings and spiritual blessings? Certainly God has provided all the necessary physical blessings for everyone born into this world. He's provided this world for us. He's provided all the things to sustain life and all the things that we need as we go through this life. You know, when a child is conceived, they are blessed to have a warm place, a place that they can grow, a place where they have nourishment, a place where they have a lifeline to the mother that gives them all the things that they need. And then when birth comes, that baby takes its first breath of air, and that air is provided by God. And as they continue on through life, God continues to provide for their needs. Certainly as we grow physically and in maturity, we should appreciate more and more all the things that God has blessed us with in the physical realm, the things that He's given us to take care of us. He's created this world for mankind, both for our enjoyment and for our substance. But God's providential care is twofold. There is the general sense that we have God's providential care. And in that general sense, it's provided to saints and sinners alike. Even the animal world are the recipients of God's physical blessings. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 44, Jesus speaking says, But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So God sends His blessings, the physical blessings. You know, it doesn't just rain on the Christian's land and then just immediately stop and not rain on the one who is not a child of God's land. You know, when it rains across the land. In Psalm 147, verse 9, it says, He gives to the beast their food and to the young ravens that cry. And God not only takes care of man, but He takes care of the animal world, the physical world around about us. Of course, Jesus talked in the Sermon on the Mount about the sparrow that doesn't fall without God's knowing and God's care, and how He's arrayed the lilies of the field and their beauty and all of those things. But there's also God's providential care with special blessings. And these special blessings are provided for saints only. for His children only. We see passages such as Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can stand against us if we're God's child? Because we have God there on our side. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus again speaking, says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Again, we have that parent-child relationship with God if we're his child, that people that are not his children just simply do not have. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, says, Paul writes, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Now that passage, I think, is misused from time to time, but we do have blessings, certainly as God's children. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Every need. Every need there, as Paul is writing to Christians, includes not only the physical things, but those spiritual things that God blesses us with. And really, the spiritual is much more important even than the physical. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 16, we see some of the difference. What is truly the difference between the physical blessing and the spiritual blessing? He says, "So do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away." That's talking about the old human body. "Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is prepared for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension. As we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are transient or temporal." They're temporary. "But the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." You know, physical blessings are bestowed upon every living being. But again, spiritual blessings are only for those who are in Christ. The difference being that physical blessings are temporal. They're temporary. They just have to do with this life. Whenever we draw our last breath, these temporal physical blessings will cease because we don't need them anymore. If we happen to still be alive when the Lord returns, then all of these physical things will end. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. This earth will be burned up and all these physical things will be done away. And so they're temporary. You know, even the physical, gave the illustration a while ago of the baby at conception and then at birth. You know, even as we age, some of these physical blessings begin to wane, don't they? Our health sometimes begins to fail and some of those type things that just aren't quite as rosy as they were when we were younger. Because they're temporary. But the spiritual blessings are eternal. They continue on and even increase with death. Eternal fellowship in the eternal abode of heaven with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, with those faithful throughout all of the ages. In Psalm 73, Asaph deals with the question, why do the wicked prosper? And he's not the only one that struggled with that question down through time. Job struggled with it, as well as several others. We even have some songs that are kind of based on that idea. You know, as you look around the world about you, it seems sometimes that those that are evil are prospering more than the good. And as Asaph kind of deals with that question, he's almost to the point of losing his faith. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3 says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." They were being blessed physically, it seemed. But then as that psalm continues, verses 17 and 18, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places, you make them fall to ruin." See, the trouble is sometimes when we look at how the evil are being blessed, we're looking just at those temporal things. And yeah, they seem to be getting the money and the glory and all of those temporary things that have to do with this life. But yet they're losing out on the spiritual blessing. And so really, we are the ones being blessed. We're the ones who are truly rich. Jesus taught the same principle when he talked about the rich fool, the farmer there in Luke chapter 12, who made the great crops. He didn't know what to do with them. He tore down his barns and built greater barns. And the Lord said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." We remember that story as he sat back, thought he had it all made. The Lord said, "You fool, this night your soul's going to be required of you. All these temporary blessings are going to cease. And you've built up no spiritual blessings." And so, which blessing are we seeking? Do we belong to God or to the world? Are we seeking after those physical things that are temporary? Or are we seeking after those things that are eternal? Second question, where are all spiritual blessings to be found? He touched on this in the video Wednesday evening. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said, "I will build my church." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We come to Acts chapter 2, we see that church established. And in verse 47, we see that after obeying the gospel of Christ, that those who had obeyed were added to the Lord's church. That the Lord Himself added them that had been saved to His church. Those outside of the church are outside of the spiritual body. They're outside of Christ. All of these spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Again, to our text, Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." He gives two indicators there of where these blessings are. First of all, they're in Christ. Secondly, they're in heavenly places. Well, what does he mean by heavenly places? If you read the context there, the book of Ephesians, in all of these verses seem to be referring to the church. And of course, being in Christ, being in the church, are one and the same, as the Lord adds those who are saved to His body. In the Old Testament, we have several type, anti-type situations. Salvation from the flood was found in the ark. Those outside of the ark were lost. Those inside of the ark were saved. Salvation from the death angel there in Egypt was found in the houses that the blood was on the doorpost of. Those that were outside of those houses that had the blood on the doorpost were lost. Those that were inside those houses were saved. Salvation from Israel's attack on Jericho was found in the house of Rahab the harlot. Those outside of Rahab's house were lost. Those inside Rahab's house were saved. Well, these types point to something much more important than physical salvation, which is the case in all of those, and that is to the spiritual blessings of salvation from our sins found in Christ. Those outside of Christ do not have those blessings. Those inside of Christ do. And so, that brings us then to the third question. What are some of these spiritual blessings? What are the spiritual blessings that Paul emphasizes as he goes on through this letter to the Ephesians? And again, this isn't a comprehensive list. As we go to other writings, we could find other spiritual blessings. But here in the context of where we've got our text from, as Paul is talking about every spiritual blessing, what are some of the ones that he goes on to talk about? And as we just begin down through the letter, we'll take them in the order we come to them. First of all, the spiritual blessing of redemption. Redemption means to be bought back. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood." You know, redemption, if you go back to the Old Testament, had to do usually with slavery. And one could sell themselves into slavery, or they could be sold into slavery. But as an Israelite, under the law of Moses, you wouldn't stay in slavery forever. Even if you were never redeemed, you'd come back out of it on the year of Jubilee. But also, you could be redeemed. A relative could redeem you, could buy you back out of slavery. Well, certainly to be freed from physical slavery would be quite a relief, wouldn't it? That would be a wonderful thing. But how much greater blessing and how much greater relief to be delivered from the bondage and consequences of sin? Redemption. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Paul writes, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." And so we've been freed, we've been redeemed from that being slaves of sin. Certainly we should be very thankful to be redeemed by the blood of Christ, to be bought out of that slavery. Not that we were worthy of it, but by His grace, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. The same verse, we see another spiritual blessing, and that's the spiritual blessing of forgiveness. It means to be pardoned, cleansed, held guiltless in the mind of God. Again, not that we are guiltless, but that He, through His gift, has made us guiltless by the sacrifice of His Son. But again, there in chapter 1, verse 7, "Through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." You know, if a person was on death row, we've all seen movies about it probably. There's somebody sitting on death row and they're waiting for that phone call, aren't they, from the governor. Sometimes it comes, sometimes it doesn't. But if you receive that phone call, that pardon, that would certainly be a wonderful thing. But again, how much greater blessing it is to not be stained with sin, to be forgiven. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and following, it says, "For you do not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But notice what he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Son and by the Spirit of our God." These people had participated. Corinth was a very wicked city. These people had participated in all of these sins. He says, "But such were some of you. But you're not that way anymore. Those things are not held against you." Why? Because you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus Christ. What a great spiritual blessing forgiveness is. To be stained with sin is to be separated from God. When those sins are forgiven and washed away, then we can have that relationship restored. We drop down to chapter 1, verse 11. We see the next spiritual blessing that Paul lists, an inheritance. The spiritual blessing of an inheritance, to be made joint heirs. He says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance." You know, again, to receive a large inheritance, it's a great thing. Most of us have probably thought at some time of Maybe we had that rich uncle off somewhere that we didn't know about that just happened to love us so much that he gave us his estate whenever he passed on. You know, but how much greater, again, to have an inheritance with Christ as one of God's children, to have that, to be joint heirs in an inheritance that's reserved in heaven. Peter described it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What a blessing. What a blessing to be joint heirs with Christ. And then in chapter 2, verse 16, we find another spiritual blessing, reconciliation. Reconciliation, to be reunited in fellowship with God. It says, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Now both there, of course, is Jew and Gentile. And there's been some hostility there between them. But now in Christ, we can all be one. But we're reconciled both, Jew and Gentile, reconciled to God. Back to that right relationship with Him. Again, if a family has been torn apart by whatever has torn them apart, and they can be reconciled back together, what a beautiful, wonderful thing that is. But how much greater to be reunited in the fellowship of God. Be reunited with the Father that sin had separated us from. Chapter 2, verse 18, access. To be able to approach God through Christ. It says, for through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. You know, if we could have access maybe to some of our government officials, and we could come to them, we could talk to them, and they would actually listen to us and maybe implement some of the things that we said or whatever, but we could approach them, have access to them. Again, that would be a great thing that we would appreciate. But how much greater to be able to communicate with our Father in heaven by faith through the mediator, Jesus Christ, by His authority. Certainly we should be very thankful for that privilege of prayer, to be able to have access to Him. He says here in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Prayer is such a blessing. Access to the God of heaven, such a blessing. And then chapter 2, verse 19, we see another spiritual blessing, citizenship. Citizenship, to be an enrolled citizen in the kingdom of God. He says there, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. What a blessing. Not strangers, not aliens. You know, I think we all are proud to be citizens of the United States of America. We complain about it sometime, and you know, it doesn't seem to be the nation it once was, but I don't think any of us would trade it to live somewhere else. You know, we like that. We like being citizens of the state of Texas and so forth. But again, how much greater privilege to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. We realize again that this citizenship here is temporary, but that is eternal. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Same verse, we see another spiritual blessing. Household. Household, to be the family of God. He continues on there, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're part of the household. Again, to be part of a wonderful physical family is a beautiful thing, isn't it? I've known of people who had bad families, I don't know how else to say it. And, you know, they couldn't look back with fond memories on their growing up and so forth. And what a shame. Most of us can. And we appreciate our physical families. But again, how much greater to be a child of God. How much greater blessing to be part of His household. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him." Because we're part of a different family. We're part of a different family than the world around about us. And certainly we should be very thankful not to be homeless spiritually. You ever thought about that? To be homeless spiritually. To not have a spiritual home would be so sad. In chapter 2, verse 20, we see another spiritual blessing, foundation. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. To be on solid ground, the rock of truth. You know, as you look around the world about us, so many people have no foundation in their life. They just are washed, as Paul said, tossed to and fro by every wind that comes along, every wind of doctrine. They have no foundation. They have no roots. But we have a foundation. A lot of people try to build a foundation on a good education or other things. And again, those things are good, but they are temporary. And so how much greater to have a blessing of being built upon that foundation of Christ and His Word. Remember, as Jesus came to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, He talked about two builders. One who built upon a foundation, upon the rock. The other one who built upon the sand, which is no foundation at all. And remember what the foundation was. It was the words that He had said. So in other words, the ones that took those words that He had said there in the Sermon on the Mount, which would extract out to all of His words, both the words in red and the words of the apostles, that as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. But to build upon those things, to have that foundation. And then, related right along with that in the same verse, we see another spiritual blessing, and that's a cornerstone. A cornerstone. He says we have the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the very foundation of the foundation, you might say. It's what it all comes off of. The very most important of all. Again, what greater blessing could we have than to have Jesus Christ as our cornerstone? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and following, "For it stands in Scripture, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do." See, the very same Christ who is the cornerstone for us, as a spiritual blessing for us, is a stumbling stone and an offense to those that are not His children. We see that in the world around us, don't we? People who blaspheme, they want nothing to do with Christ. He's a stumbling block to them. But for us who are His children, He's certainly a blessing. As we continue on, chapter 2, verse 21, we see another spiritual blessing, that we're part of the temple. We're part of that building that is being built upon that cornerstone and on that foundation. Priest in that temple. It says, "In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." You know, to be part of a false religion is to be deceived. But to be part of the spiritual temple of God, what a blessing. The church of Jesus Christ. To be a part of that body is such a blessing. We're to be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood in the eyes of God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. And then we see as we move into verse 22, chapter 22 of chapter 2, a spiritual blessing of habitation. Habitation or dwelling place. That we actually have the blessing of being a dwelling place, a habitation for God. In Him also, you're being built together into a dwelling place or a habitation for God by the Spirit. Again, to be loved by family and friends, to have different people as part of our life is a blessing. But how much more to have God taking His dwelling place in us. Romans 8, beginning verse 38, says, For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in this creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we are a dwelling place for God, nothing will separate us unless we make the choice to separate ourselves. But nothing else, no outside force can separate us. And then we see in chapter 3, verse 12, boldness. Spiritual blessing of boldness. To be able to go before God with boldness, with confidence. Kind of similar to the one we already looked at of access. In fact, it's found there in that same verse. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Again, to be able to go before leaders of nations with boldness, with confidence, would be a wonderful thing. But how much more to go before the Lord? To be able to say, as Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have so much to be thankful for as we can draw near to Him. We don't have to go through a priesthood like they did under the Old Testament. We go through our high priest, our mediator, Jesus Christ. And so as we look down through the book of Ephesians, we find all of those spiritual blessings. All of those things that are unique to the child of God. And as great as all of those things are, it gets even better. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord Jesus from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. You know, Paul was in a little bit of a turmoil as far as what to wish for. Whether to wish for death or whether to wish to remain here, to live for Christ. He knew that both were beneficial, one more beneficial to himself, the other more beneficial to those around about him. But in Philippians 1, verses 21 and following, he says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means faithful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better. See, Paul realized that there's even more spiritual blessings in death. As we leave the temporary hurts and turmoils and tears of this world to go to that which is beyond. He knew, of course, it was beneficial for him to stay and to teach and try to bring others with him. That song that we sang again before the class earlier, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Is it really possible to do it? Is it really even possible for us to count our every blessing and name them one by one? I think if we should try, we would fall with exhaustion before we'd even begun to make the list of all of the blessings that God gives us. God's providential care includes both the material, those temporary, those physical things, but certainly also the spiritual. And since all of His blessings are found in Christ, then we must obey the gospel in order to receive those great blessings. Again, the physical things, those are for both the saint and the sinner, but those who are in Christ receive the spiritual blessings. And so the question this morning I want to leave you with, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If not, then you're separated from all of these spiritual blessings we've looked at. You have the physical, but again, those will end at death. So are you in Christ? Have you obeyed the plan of salvation? If you've done that in the past, are you living faithful to Him? Are you still in Christ, or have you through sin separated yourself once again from Him by not walking continually with Him? Are you enjoying the spiritual blessings, both now in this life and even more so in the life to come? The greatest, of course, to be heaven as we assemble around the throne of God forever. Lesson is yours this morning. If you're not in Christ, you don't have to leave here separated from Him. You could respond. We could baptize you this very morning. Maybe you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. We can assist you in any way if you'd let your need be known as we stand and sing.